Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The physical elements of the Promised Treasures theme reinforce and verify how real the saving good news of Jesus really is. Last night, Maundy Thursday, reminded us of the blood of the Holy Communion and the water of Holy Baptism, water and blood. Well, today on Good Friday, we confront with almost blunt force the actual bloody instrument on which our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, died, the wood of His cross. This is the next promised treasure for us to share. The altar is stripped. The pyramids have been taken down. Everything is simple, stark, dark. It is a reminder that God's own Son, Jesus Christ, has died. What better reminder of His death is there for you today than to take home this little wooden cross? All of you should have received one as you entered worship today. This symbolically reveals the Father's profound love for the world. He did not spare His only Son, your substitute. Even Abraham didn't have to sacrifice his son, Isaac, since God provided a ram in the thicket to be the sacrifice. But now the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, lovingly dies on the cross in your place. This little wooden cross helps us to remember. All crosses help us to remember, including the ones that we sing about in hymns like The Old Rugged Cross, or the hymn that will follow the sermon this evening, In the Cross of Christ I Glory. The author of that last hymn, John Bowring, was said to have been inspired to write these words when coming across the ruins of an old Portuguese church, which time, war, and the elements had turned into a crumbling ruin, all except for the spire on which on top was this old bronze cross, which reflected the rays of the setting sun. Listen to these words. In the cross of Christ I glory, towering over the wrecks of time, all the light of sacred story gathers around its head sublime. The wood your cross is made of has its own biblical history. In fact, wood is often used to rescue, sweeten, and raise up in the Bible. In Genesis, God placed two large trees in the Garden of Eden, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they were there to test Adam and Eve. Noah later used gopher wood to build the ark, which literally lifted his family above the waters that drowned the entire world. After Moses led Israel out of Egypt through the Red Sea, he threw a piece of wood into the bitter waters of Meribah to sweeten them for Israel to drink. Much later, in the time of the kings of Israel, the prophet Elijah cut a wooden stick, threw it in the Jordan River to raise up an iron axe head, which had been mistakenly flung into the river by one of the prophets who were cutting down a tree. Well, none of these stories directly point to the cross upon which Jesus died. They indirectly reveal a beautiful image of what the cross does to save you and to save me. The early church fathers often excelled at doing just this same thing. They used simple biblical stories and everyday objects in a picturesque way to connect their hearers to the whole story of salvation. Reflect again on the story of Noah and the flood. Why did God tell Noah to build an ark out of wood? God could have chosen another way, any way, to destroy the world and save Noah and his family. But he didn't. Instead, God chose a wooden boat to save Noah and his family and to keep all the animals safe. God used wood to rescue them and enable them to float above the water. What troubles flood your mind on this Good Friday? Are you so overwhelmed with trouble from so many different things that you maybe feel like you're drowning? Is it family troubles, relationship issues, frustrations at work, or maybe not having a job at all? Amid such troubled waters, the wood of Christ's cross promises to keep you afloat, rescuing you and carrying you through all the trials of life. Jesus was willingly flooded with the weight and the guilt of this world's sin when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Yet by this he, the righteous and sinless Son of God, conquered sin, death, and hell. This is reflected in verse 2 of John Bowring's hymn, "In the Cross of Christ I Glory." When the woes of life overtake me, hopes deceive and fears annoy, never shall the cross of Christ forsake me. Lo, it glows with peace and joy. Why did God tell Moses to throw a piece of wood in the bitter waters of Meribah? To sweeten it so the Israelites could drink and live. Have you ever tasted bad water like strong iron well water or water that smells like rotten eggs? You almost choke on it. It's really tough to drink it, to get it down. Well, God could have told Moses to throw anything in that water, even a rock. But no, God told Moses to throw in a piece of wood into those bitter waters to make them drinkable, to make them sweet. We've all had some bitter pills to swallow in life, haven't we? Do feelings of bitterness linger in your heart against some people? Are you upset because you've been wronged or betrayed? Even amid your bitterness and restlessness, God comes to sweeten and gladden the waters of your life. God gives us so many examples of forgiveness in His Word, like when Joseph forgave his brothers who betrayed him, sold them into slavery. And when Jesus bore all betrayal and bitterness from Judas, from Peter, from the disciples who fled from Him. Likewise, this little wooden cross is a reminder to us that can sweeten bitterness and soften anger. Jesus was betrayed, and His naked body was nailed to a tree, so that sin and the bitterness and the anger it breeds might be done forever. In the cross of Christ, I glory, verse 3. When the Sun of Bliss is beaming light and love upon my way, from the cross of radiance streaming adds more luster to the day. Finally, consider Elisha and how God floated that heavy iron axe head with a light piece of wood. Why didn't Elisha just speak over it or motion with his hand or something? Or he could have just parted the Jordan River with his cloak and just walked out there and picked it up. Instead, by throwing in a light piece of wood, he raised his heavy, weighted iron axe head. That doesn't normally happen. When did you last see iron float? It doesn't. But the cross of Jesus lifts you up. Jesus lightens your load. He takes all your guilt, your personal shame, your worries, your troubles, your sin, and He nails it to Himself. Cast your burdens on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Psalm 55, verse 22. Although millions of things may be weighing you down right now, financial worries, marriage problems, children problems, sibling or friend problems, cancer, a chronic illness, God knows what they are. And God cares about all that. Every day brings new burdens to test us, to weigh us down like a heavy iron axe head. But Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, all you who labor, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Your bloody Savior, Jesus Christ, invites you to cast every weight on Him, so that by the cross you are lightened, lifted up, and sustained by His forgiving grace. Verse 4. Pain and blessing, pain and pleasure, by the cross are sanctified. Peace is there that knows no measure. Joys that through all time abide. John Bowring discovered a treasure that day in that old Portuguese church. He discovered Christ's cross. As you hold this wooden cross, may it remind you of the incredible love of Jesus Christ. He gives you eternal life today, right now. You are His forever, because He shed His blood for you. May Christ's cross always rescue, sweeten, and lighten your life. That's why today is Good Friday. And may the cross always be your promised treasure. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.